This is Larry Jordan, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. The following interview is an excerpt from a recent program. To hear the entire program, visit digitalproductionbuzz.com. As Director of Business Development for Bebop Technology, Michael Kamas leverages his experience with creative technology and tools providers to accelerate growth and provide strategic perspective across marketing, sales, and partnerships. And best of all, he's a frequent and welcome contributor to The Buzz. Hello, Michael. Welcome back.
Good to hear your voice, Larry. Thank you very much.
You know, this move to Bebop is relatively new. How's it going?
I tell you, some days you feel like a rock star, and other days you feel like the guy who's cleaning up after the rock stars. What's very interesting is that over the course of my career, it's been about getting a faster horse, right? More horsepower, faster storage, just incrementally make things better. Even moving from tape to tapeless was an incremental step. Now that I'm working at Bebop and everything is based around cloud methodologies, it's no longer trying to get a faster horse. It's introducing people to Teslas and cars. It's a complete different way of thinking.
That's what I want to talk about, because this week we're looking about interesting ideas that have caught our attention. What's an interesting idea that's occurred to you?
In retrospect, it almost seems like, why didn't I think of this earlier? In post-production especially, we've been relegated to the technology that is on our desktop or on the floor next to our desk or in a machine room that's down the hall. It's very rare that we leverage the power of data centers around the world to do a lot of the heavy lifting that we're still relying on our local machines for.
Yeah, but when you say heavy lifting, a data center is essentially a server that's located somewhere other than our site, but a server's being shared by multiple users. How does moving to a server help us? Because now we're time sharing.
No, that's a great way of looking at it, and I'll address the second part first. When you're dealing with data centers, yes, it's brokered time, but the work that you may need to do may not require you to have that investment of that $9,000 Mac Pro. You may be able to get by with paying a few dollars for compute time and then be done with it. So there is something to be said for the financials of something like that. The other angle is that when we look at these data centers, the machines that are in data centers are far faster than just about anything any of us are going to have on our desktop or again, even in our machine room. And so by leveraging the power of these machines, whether they're shared or not, to render faster, to export faster, to play back in real time what our local machine can't, and to use the bandwidth that these data centers already have to the internet at large, there's no reason we shouldn't offload all of those responsibilities to data centers instead of relying on what we have at home or at work.
I want to bypass the first mile, last mile speed challenge. Instead, I want to look at the workflow concept. Is our workflow the same if we're editing using locally attached storage versus editing versus the cloud?
That's a great question. And I think when folks try and look at using the cloud, the first immediate knee-jerk reaction is to use one of the great sites like Frame.io and even YouTube to some extent, where it's the last mile for the review and approve process. And that's a fantastic way of using the cloud, but that only augments what you're doing on-prem. You're still following the workflow you've been using for years. When we start introducing the cloud into post-production workflows, we have to look at, well, do we want to push high-res media up to the cloud and edit with that? Sure, it'll take longer, but the machines up in the cloud can handle it faster, can render it faster, and then you can deliver from the cloud as opposed to bringing the media back down to wherever you're working and push it out from there.
It sounds to me that a good alternative would be a proxy workflow. Store the high-res media locally, feed proxies to the cloud, and use the power of the cloud for proxy editing.
No, you're completely right. If you want to cut down on the time it takes to upload, you can certainly utilize proxies. And then you can localize the project file and reconnect to the high-res. And in that case, then it falls somewhat into our more traditional offline and online process. However, if you're uploading proxies, you now are stuck with what proxies are in the cloud, which means you always have to localize. We also look at things like disaster recovery and just simple backups. If you're working on-prem and your non-rated drive goes down or your SAN, a drive goes dead, unless you've got backup somewhere, you're in a really, really tough spot. If you're working in the cloud, traditionally, there's snapshotting, there's backups, there's what they call 99.99% uptime or 99.999% uptime. So while there is a longer upload time with media, you have all these fringe benefits, including disaster recovery, already in the cloud.
Should I mention last week's Facebook outage of multiple hours in terms of 99999 reliability?
I believe that was for Facebook. It wasn't for where media is usually stored in an editable fashion like Amazon or Google or Microsoft.
Oh, all right. Well, then I won't mention it then. Where do you see the best use of the cloud? Is it really the editorial process? Is it more in review and approval? Is it more in distribution? I mean, do we really have to commit our entire workflow to the cloud, or can we pick and choose?
You can certainly pick and choose, and you can certainly have hybrid workflows because the cloud, as you pointed out, isn't perfect in every aspect. For example, if you want to grade something on a server in a data center, if you're doing high-end grading, you're going to need something that can transmit that from a data center in real time. And right now, that's only in theoretical deployments. It's not something that we can just turn on and it just works. So there has to be some concession somewhere.
What's the best option? If we're nervous about the cloud, where should we start dipping our toe into the water?
I think a lot of folks will dip their toes in the cloud water by saying, okay, maybe I'll use TeamViewer, or maybe I'll use Remote Desktop, or maybe I'll use any of these free or almost free apps for my media workflow. And I think what most people have to realize is that many of these tools are not meant for the niche media and entertainment industry. So it's important to find cloud tools that are optimized for media and entertainment and then exploit those as opposed to trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
What are some tasks that the cloud is eminently suited for?
That's a good question, Larry. Workflows are a lot like dominoes or houses of cards, right? If you move one, then you may move all of them, and that can be disastrous. So if you're looking for something that the cloud can do well that isn't a big change or burden to what you're doing now, then review and approve. And I think a lot of services have already done that, all right? I've already mentioned Frame.io among a handful of others that are already doing this to facilitate that review and approve process. However, if you look at data centers, they have more horsepower than you could ever have. So their best job is for the rendering and is for the exporting of media. The problem with that is for you to utilize rendering in the cloud, you have to have a good chunk of media up there as well, or some kind of proprietary application which can render in the cloud and then localize those results without too much impact to your workflow. And unfortunately, there are not a lot of services out there that can do that for creative editorial.
You've been involved in workflow since you and I first met many, many years ago, and now you're really working for a company which is focused on cloud services. What is it about the cloud that most excites you?
The fact that it's brand new. And when I say brand new, I mean brand new for the media and entertainment industry. If we look at some of the leaders in our industry in terms of creative software, we look at things like Avid, right? Their cloud offering is just beginning. If we look at companies like Apple in terms of creative editorial, they're not even doing a lot that's public, I should say. And then we look at Adobe, who has been dipping their toe in the cloud for years, but still doesn't have a complete cloud solution. So it's very exciting to see these tools that I've worked with for decades that drive our creative industry in terms of technology. And for them not to have a solution, that means it's new technology. And I'm uber excited to see where it goes.
Are you really that hopeful about media in the cloud?
I am. My biggest concern is that we're too early. My concern is that the bandwidth that we're afforded here in the U.S. will not increase significantly enough to make this viable, but the tech is there. The tech works. I really feel it's going to be the future, just whether we're too early.
Michael, for people that want to keep track of what you're thinking and doing, where can they go on the web?
A couple different places. You can go to michaelcommis.com. You can also check out 5thingsseries.com. That's the number 5. And lastly, beboptechnology.com.
Let's do my favorite website, which is Michael Kamas, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-K-A-M-M-E-S, michaelkamas.com, and the number 5, 5thingsseries.com. And Michael, thanks for your time.
Thank you for yours, Larry. Take care.